Welcome to Money Reverse with Carolyn M. Williams, Christian Biblical Principles for Our Personal Handling of Money and Possessions.
Talk about a fun morning. I was recently invited to be a guest speaker at a Saturday morning Christian ministry small group meeting. The focus of the meeting was to introduce the attendees to the U.S. stock market and investing concepts. After getting the invite, I was so honored and I responded that I would love to play a part in this opportunity to encourage others to expand their financial knowledge. If you haven't been introduced to the small group ministry concept, this is simply the way that large church ministries accomplishes the small church, everybody is connected atmosphere. What happens is a leader with a very specific passion creates a single focus group and opens it to any members of the large church that may be interested. Once this group is formed, they have meetings, events, they study, grow, pray together, and they serve each other through the trials, challenges, and celebrations that are a part of normal life. This small group that I was invited to attend is the Strategic Business Relationships and Career Transition Group that's led by Carlin Davis. This group is birthed from Covenant Church in Carrollton, Texas. The goal that I had was that at the end of the meeting, the ladies that were attending this group would have the following four things. They would have scriptural references that confirms that Christian financial principles encourage investing. They would also know what a stock security is, and they would be able to read a stock quote. Another goal that I had is that they would have an understanding of our key U.S. stock markets, including what they represent and their all-time high values. The three markets that we focused on were the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. And the last thing I wanted to do is to ensure that everyone attending would be able to follow market and investing conversations on financial TV shows by having a knowledge of bears, bulls, insiders, market capitalization, market sentiment, SEC, and several other U.S. stock market terms and concepts. Now, to accomplish these lofty goals in a 45-minute time period, I ask everyone that was attending the meeting to act as a baseball game back catcher. That meant I wanted everyone to be ready and expecting that something was going to be delivered to them at a fast pace, and they were to be ready to catch it and control it. Now, to help in this, I gave each individual blank slips of paper to use to jot down questions that came to mind throughout the session, and then I took the time to answer some of these questions on scheduled intervals. From the feedback, I am very happy to report that after the meeting, everybody noted that they learned, not just heard, but they learned a lot about our U.S. markets during this illustrated introduction. As I promised, here on Money Reverse, I'm reviewing the scriptural references that encourage us to invest, along with posting the answers to the questions that I did not get a chance to answer during the session. If you were not a part of this meeting, you can also benefit by getting the answer to these excellent questions that were presented by the group that was attending. Biblical scriptures that encourage investing.
Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1.
This wisdom note is presented to us by Solomon, the son of King David. This principle encourages me to not consume everything that I have, but instead send some away with an expectation that I will see it again. I'd like to affectionately refer to this as the now and later theory. In the Christian Holy Bible, many times bread is metaphorically used to reference any food or any necessities that are required to sustain life. Now, with this information in mind, this scripture invites us all to purposefully take what we could clearly use for life now, and I'll introduce the word invest here, invest it for a return that is to come at a later time in life. Now, here's a clear biblical example of investing. The parable of the talents. This is one of my favorites. Let's listen to it.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. And to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30.
From this parable, let me define a few things to help to make this more relevant to us today. The word kingdom can be defined as the area of influence or rule. Think of heaven as the place or the way that God has set aside for those that profess to be Christians. So putting both of those together, from the first verse, let's say that the kingdom of heaven can be defined as God's prescribed way of doing things in the place that is set aside for us. Heaven is what Christians are striving for. In this parable, the ruler was going on a journey, but clearly expected that his money was going to continue to grow while he was away. He called his trusted servants that knew him and knew his expectations to manage the money in his absence. Scripture states that he knew what their abilities were, and in reading between the lines, I'm stating that he did not put them in a situation where they could fail miserably. Now let's define a talent. In the ancient Greek and Roman times, a talent was a weight and unit of currency. Think of this as referring to money as something like an ounce of silver, an ounce of gold, an ounce of copper, or some other medium of exchange. For them, during the time that this scripture was written, the talent was the money. Our takeaway from this parable should be the understanding that we are expected to use what we have in our hands, use our wisdom, tenacity, to be the best managers possible. The best managers expect, not hope, but expect to prosper in all things. In this parable, this was not negotiable. All three servants understood this clearly. Two of the three took it seriously and invested what they had entrusted to them. This took courage, faith, and a commitment to doing what was expected of them. Christian biblical scripture clearly outlines that it is expected that we are prosperous in all areas of life. See my earlier blog post entitled, "The Lord Wants You to Prosper." Make a special note of the principle that was introduced in this parable, that what is made available to us is in line with our current management abilities. Improve your money management skills, learn to profit with what you have, and get ready for the promotion of being entrusted with more. Now, let me answer your questions that we did not have time to address during the stock market primer session.
Can you explain on your statement to understand how a company makes their money before you invest in their stock?
Good question. In my opinion, this should be modus operandi, which is Latin for way of operating, for any and everyone that is looking to invest in stock. Actually, I want to pass this concept along that you should consider this before you make any investment. When you're making an investment, there should be one single solitary goal, and that is to make money, period. The question that you should ask before you invest is, how are we expecting this investment to make money? If the answer doesn't make sense to you, I'd advise against putting any money in it. But for investing in a company stock, I'd advise that you review the company's quarterly 10Q reports and the annual 10K reports. Buried in there is the answer to the question that you should be asking of that company. How are we expecting to make money? If you can't buy into the money-making plan, don't buy into the stock.
Carolyn, how does a company decide how many stocks to make available for sale on the open market?
Determining the number of stocks to make available for sale to the general public, it's one of the many steps in the process of filing for an IPO, initial public offering, with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. Key players in the IPO process include the investment bankers that serve as the underwriters. Now, it's through the underwriting process that a very thorough evaluation of the business strategies and the current and future earnings potential of the company are taken into account. From there, the value of the IPO is proposed. Now, the IPO value is based on the number of shares multiplied by the proposed price per share. The short answer to the question is the number of company stock shares made available for sale is determined by the investment bankers based on the value of the company.
How do companies pull shares off the market?
Pulling shares of a company's stock off the market, thus making them unavailable to be purchased by the general public, is accomplished through a stock buyback activity. A company will purchase their own stock, either in the open market, which is stock available for anyone to purchase, or by making an offer to existing stockholders to purchase their stock from them. The result of a company owning more of its own stock is that there's less of this company stock available for others to purchase. We see this in cases where a company would like to lessen the threat of a single individual or interest group purchasing enough stock that would put them in a controlling position within the organization. Good question.
Carolyn, what are the proper steps in researching a company?
Now that is a great question to ask. I think the most important thing to note is that when you buy a stock, you're buying a piece of the company. It is important to know what you're buying. Just like you would not pay good money for a black box with no label or information about its contents, you should not buy a stock without learning about and agreeing with the current and future activities of the company. We didn't cover this in the session, but here are a few questions that I never fail to answer about a company before I buy their stock. What is the company's financial status? Are they making a profit? What is the company's business model? How do they make money? What is the company's competition standing? How do they compare to their competitors? And how is the associated industry performing in today's market? Could be a great company, but if that industry is an industry that's not doing well, I'd reconsider investing in the company. With any investment, you've got to look at the numbers. Remember, the primary reason that we're investing is to make money. Even if it is your grandfather's company, if the numbers don't look right, don't invest. When I say look at the numbers, here's a few things that I must know as I consider investing in a stock. The volume. Is this stock a darling in the market? Are a lot of people interested in this stock? I look at the stock price. How is this stock priced in relation to its all-time high? How is it priced in relation to its all-time low? How is it priced in relation to its competitors? Patterns and trends. What is this stock doing? Is it going up? Going down? Staying the same? I look at these trends over the last 1 year and the last 3 years. And I look at the historical numbers. Of all of those questions, if I had looked at these numbers this time last year, what would I have seen? My favorite site for getting this research information is MarketWatch.com. The web address is www.marketwatch.com. This is a free site and it's sponsored by the Wall Street Journal. I introduced you to this site in the stock market primer session. This is the one that I projected during the demo. If you are not at the session and are interested in researching stocks, give this site a try. It's simple to navigate and it has a wealth of pre-investment information. Getting the basic information about a company is called fundamental analysis. Looking at the numbers for investment purpose is known as technical analysis. When you get serious about investing in stock, make it a point to get some education on these two types of analysis prior to making stock trades.
Carolyn, don't most wealthy people own or trade stocks?
I guess yes. Defining wealthy as having a great deal of money, resources, or assets, it's more than likely that the wealth is not a result of only working on a job. Many wealthy individuals receive their wealth from wages, investments, and/or inheritance. Because the stock market is a proven way to invest, many well-to-do folks have stocks as a part of their investment portfolio.
Carolyn, what do I use to buy and sell my stock?
To buy and sell stock, you will need to have a brokerage account. This is a special type of bank account in which you deposit the funds that you'd like to use to invest, and you place orders for stocks and other securities against those funds by using this particular account. When you deposit funds into the account, these are yours to manage as you see fit, but the bank or brokerage firm actually completes the stock trade on your behalf. Now, many of these firms charge you a commission, which is a per transaction fee, and that is added on to the cost of placing each security purchase. This actually sounds more complicated than it really is. Don't be intimidated by all of the new terms introduced here. Managing your investment securities by using a brokerage account is actually quite simple.
I'm real curious, how do I pick a brokerage account?
Now that is a very good question. The best advice that I can give is that you pick a brokerage account the same way that you would pick any other bank account. Look at all of the services, the tools, the minimum account balance requirements, cost and fees, and pick an account that works best for you when it comes to these items. Shop around and make sure that the brokerage services line up with how you think you will trade. If you think that you're going to make lots of trades, look for the lowest commission rate that you can find. This may come at a cost of having fewer research tools available to you as a part of the account services. Maybe that's okay. If you think that you will not make lots of trades, make sure that the service does not penalize you with a fee for a dormant account. If buying stocks and options are in your future, ensure that the account that you get is priced right for both of these types of securities. Again, get an idea for what you think you'd like to do within the account and go with the firm that has the best prices and services matched for your planned investment activities. Shopping for brokerage accounts is the fun part. Google the phrase brokerage account comparison and start window shopping for a brokerage account today. No harm in looking.
Carolyn, could you do me a big favor? I need a better understanding. Please clarify what the SEC is and what it does.
The Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC, is a government entity that was created by Congress for the specific purpose of protecting investors through regulation of the securities markets. A key way that this protection is accomplished is by promoting full disclosure of the financial activities of all public companies. The financial activities of publicly traded companies are detailed in the mandatory quarterly and annual reports that public companies must file with the SEC, in addition to providing information and narratives of all of the company officers. For us as investors, the SEC is our friend because companies that make their stock available for sale on the open market, they're required to remain in good standing on all of these reporting regulations. These are the reports that we use for our pre-investment research activities. All of the reports submitted by companies to the SEC are available for viewing by the general public. That's you. That's me, and that's anybody else that's interested in investing in any securities market. Praise God for the SEC.
My question is, how do you use stock purchases to make money?
I can't say this enough. There should be one objective to investing, and that is to make money. Period. Making money through stock purchases center around purchasing a stock at a low price, holding it while the price rises, and selling that same stock while it is at the high price. The difference in the price in which you purchase a stock and the price in which you sold it is your profit from that particular stock trade. The goal is to have multiple instances of selling a stock at a higher price than what you paid to purchase it. This is the primary strategy of making money from stock purchases. Simply said, buy low and sell high. That's it for now. But since I've got even more of your questions to answer, stay tuned for part two.
You have been listening to Money Reverse with Carolyn M. Williams. For more information, please visit our website at www.moneyreverse.net.